Today on the podcast, I have Kate Hyde. Kate is a photographer in the Loveland, Colorado area, family photographer who specializes in the multitude of genres in family photography, from newborns to children to family. She dabbles in corporate photography and branding photography as well. She does beautiful, beautiful work. But today I had her on the program to talk about websites, specifically photography websites, and how many of us are using our websites incorrectly, and we have them set up incorrectly. And she gives some really great, helpful tips. And true confession, I have some things on my website that I need to fix, and I bet you do too. So welcome to the Focal Points Podcast, and let's get into it with Kate Hyde. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. All right, Kate, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So as I said in my introduction, you are a family photographer and you are based out of Loveland, Colorado, which is that a suburb of Denver?
I'm about an hour north of Denver.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And is that where you've always had your business?
Yes, it is. I've been in business as a photographer since 2011. Mm-hmm. So this is where I started. I do families and newborns, and I dabbled in seniors and brand work for a little while too.
Okay. How'd you get started?
Really, you know, the old mom story. I had a baby and
like the typical story we all have, right? Yeah. I had a baby, got a camera, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I had an interest in photography in high school, loved it, started college with photography and decided I didn't want to go that route, which is hilarious, right?
Yeah.
But then I had my daughter, really got into learning my DSLR, and people started asking me to take their pictures. Yeah. So
isn't that just like the tale as old as time, right? Like
almost
every female photographer that I talk to, there's some variation of that story. Recently, I did an interview with Natasha Lamel, and she is actually one of the first people who does she does more like lifestyle photography for weddings. It's a very interesting style. And she's one of the only ones that I've ever interviewed that actually went to school for a degree in photojournalism and is continuing to do that to this day. In the Washington, D.C. area. So I know many of our origin stories are very much the same. So tell me a little bit about your business. You had a baby, you got started in photography, you learned your DSLR and everything. But what we're going to talk today specifically is about websites and SEO and that type of thing. So how did your interest kind of land on that?
Yeah. So I really got into marketing, honestly, in college. I took my degree is in merchandising, and I took a marketing class the summer before my last year of college. And had I not been in college for so long at that point, I probably would have switched majors again and gone into marketing. Super fascinated by that. Yeah. I love all of the buying psychology and what makes people tick, and just the creativity part of marketing that goes with that. So that's always been a big interest of mine through my photography business. And I'm watching other photographers struggle with that. I know that that's not an interest for a lot of photographers. So in 2020, I had kind of started to pivot into teaching photographers. And then in 2022, I had rebuilt my own website on Showit again for my coaching side of my business. And as I was doing it, I thought, I know how to do this, and it's still a struggle. Like I had all of the copywriting training. I knew how to use the software. I knew how things should be laid out. And I still wanted someone to bounce ideas off of. Right. I still wanted someone to answer questions for me. Like, how did you do that on that site? Or how did this work? And then I saw other people asking the same questions. And that is kind of where my program, the Website Launch Accelerator, came from, helping other creatives build their own websites.
Yeah. You know, websites are a funny thing. And I don't think people, when they think they're, especially photographers, because the technical side of things, the copywriting side of things, the messaging side of things is not something that I think photographers realize that they're going to have to spend so much time doing when they start their business. You know, I say this all the time that many of us, we just wanted to take pretty pictures and give them, you know, sell them to people. But that's such a simple, such an insultingly simple way to describe what we do almost, right?
Absolutely.
And the messaging and putting together everything in a website can be really complicated. So I know when a lot of photographers start out, especially when I started out 15 years ago. That was like the dawn of Facebook. That was the dawn. You were friends on Facebook. You were, you know, all that type of thing. And people would slap up a photography Facebook page or a fan page, I guess is what they called it at the time, and call it a day. And why do you feel that photographers really need to have their own piece of real estate for their business?
Well, it's exactly that. It's something that you own for a website. It's not something that's on borrowed land like Instagram or Facebook. But the other part of it is that you have so much more control over what a person sees on a website versus what they're seeing on Facebook. Facebook's maybe going to show them this post and that post. And then like if they decide to go down the scroll hole and look at all of your stuff, it's still not in a organized strategic path that leads them from interested to buying. Whereas a website, you really have control over like, okay, we're hitting them with this message first, and then we're going to lead them to this information, and then they need to know this. And having that all like tailored and specific and strategic towards your brand, your message, and what you want to offer and who you want to help on a website is really super important.
Yeah. Now I was looking at your website earlier today, and I was kind of clicking through everything and reading everything. And many people have a traditional about page where they say, you know, I got interested in photography at a very young age, or when I had my baby, right? Do the stereotypical journey. I had my baby and I got a camera and I just loved it so much. And now I take pictures. You know, we have all this with a picture of ourselves and everything. I didn't necessarily see that on your website, specifically under your about page. On the about page, I was very intrigued by the fact where you click that. And I will have the link to Kate's website in the show notes so you guys can see this as well. But it's the click, and then you have three different places where people can click through. But there's not a lot about you on that about page. So talk to me a little bit about that.
So it's there. The about me is there. It's just further down the page. I want to grab your interest when you get on the page, and you're not interested in me. You're interested in how I can help you.
I love that so much.
That is where I really focus the beginning of the page, where what problem the customer is experiencing, how I can help solve that problem, and how I do it differently than other people. And then that builds their trust in you. And then you can get into that getting to know you and like you factor. I think we get that know, like, and trust backwards, that they have to trust us before they can even get to know us or like us.
Okay. I love that. I think I tell this to my coaching clients all the time too. It's like, your business is not about you. And so stop the coaching and the education methodology for so long was like, they need to get to know you. They need to get to relate with you. Like, you need to vibe with them so that you can attract the kind of people that want to work with you and repel the kind of people that don't want to work with you. Well, I don't know too many photographers this day and age who actually want to repel clients actively and push people away. And I don't know too many people who can actually afford to do that, you know, in an oversaturated marketplace. So I love the idea that you have created a page where you're like, this is about you and what can I do for you? It's not about me and my camera and my bio, which is, you know, in full confession, that's what I have on my website. And so when I was looking through your website, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand the methodology here and what she's trying to do. It's nice to be able to see that in action and how you've been able to make it really much more client focused and much more on the client journey versus about, oh yeah, here's me with a picture of my camera, which is what
they're going to see on every other website they land on.
Right.
Also,
and that's what I have on mine.
Yeah.
Now.
So. That's okay. You can fix it. It won't take that long to fix. But the other part about it is that your about page is usually the first thing people click to after they land on your site. They'll read whatever page they landed on, and then the next thing they click to is your about page. So it's like primo real estate to get them hooked.
Okay. And, do you find, though, that they go to pricing or they go to about first, like in your research? What is your opinion on that?
Like the statistics show that it's about 52% of people go to the about page first.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't disagree with that because everyone's, go to pricing page. They just want to see your pricing. I'm like, not everybody is interested in that very first thing. Yes, they're going to get there, but that doesn't mean that that's the number one thing that they're interested in. Yep. And that's a whole podcast for a whole nother time is understanding the idea that people, not everyone automatically just shops on price.
Well, so, and we don't want them to. We want them to be interested in what we offer and why it's different than the person next door first.
Right, right. I love that. So what are some, besides that glaring mistake that I fully confess that I have, what are some other mistakes that you see people making on their websites?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is not having a strategy in how the information is presented. Mm-hmm. One huge thing that drives me a little bit crazy is portfolio pages or gallery pages where the only thing on the page is photos from that style of session. I highly recommend using a services page instead. So instead of a newborn gallery page and then a newborn pricing page, you would have a newborn services page, which mm-hmm. would have your gallery information about that type of session, who it's for, why they would want it, and then pricing as well, all on one page. So people don't have to click to another page for to get all of the information that they need.
Yeah, I love that because I think also not everybody, and I don't know a lot of people. I work on a big old huge monitor, and that's where I love. I have lots of real estate, lots of tabs open. I can navigate everything. But we all know in this mobile world that many people are looking at our websites mobily. So the less clicks that you can get them to see the information that they want to see, the better. Is that kind of the idea besides just having everything laid out? But just give them what they need all in one place.
Yes. And for SEO purposes, we want to make sure that those pages are packed with words and not just images. When you have a page full of images, that's not going to rank well on Google, and you're going to need more pages and more pages. And like having people click through, they're going to get lazy and not do it. Right. Like they if they can't get what they need, they're not interested. So having those targeted services pages, those pages are going to rank better than like your homepage will, because it is very specific to a specific service and a specific person and gives all of the information needed.
Everything's
for that.
Right there. I love that. And then do you like, how many places do you put a contact form on your site?
So there should be calls to action throughout your site, throughout like every other or every third section of your site as you scroll down the page. And there should be an easy way for people to get to click that button as they like, all right, that's all I needed to know. Click, you know, like as they scroll down the page, you don't want them to have to scroll back up. You want mm-hmm. to give them that call to action right there. And that can link to either like a contact form, a contact page, or even a freebie, like a lead magnet that pops up for them to sign up for your email newsletter. Maybe they're not quite ready to buy yet.
Okay. What is your opinion on pop-ups?
Yeah. I think that they can be powerful if they're used strategically. Mm-hmm. I hate a pop-up when I can't exit out of it. I hate a pop-up that pops up before I've even gotten a chance to scroll the page at all. Yeah. I need some time to look at things before I'm even interested in that pop-up. I hate when like a coupon comes up before I've even seen what the offer is, because mm-hmm. I don't know if I am interested enough to click in for that coupon. So just being really strategic about how and when you use those.
Right. What they say is I was reading an article recently, a marketing article, and they were talking about pop-ups and whether pop-ups were still something that were beneficial to the business. And the summary of the article was very similar to what you're saying. It's like, you can't just go to a website and bam, slam someone with a pop-up. So if you're doing that, you need to find a way to delay that in some way. So like, I think my pop-up is after they click to a second page,
Okay.
On the website, yeah, where it's not on the first page, they can scroll the whole first page. That's not a problem. But as soon as they click over to another page showing that they're at least somewhat interested in what, yeah, I'm talking about, then the pop-up comes up. Right. And I don't know if it's the most effective pop-up, but people sign up. So it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. I could probably refine that a little bit more as well. But I'm trying to think of a site I went to recently where they slammed me with, it was a big custom site. It wasn't a template or anything like that. They slammed me, I think, with like two or three pop-ups. I just clicked out. I'm like, yeah, I can't.
You don't even read it at that point. Right. Like it's just, it's obtrusive and annoying more than anything. Right. But if you have a pop-up that's strategically placed and people are clicking it and signing up for your email list, I mean, I've had people that were on my email list for years before they booked with me, but then they did book with me. So having that is really a smart move.
Yeah, I have had a newsletter for a long time, and it's literally like maybe three times a year. It's not very much, but someone booked me. My last big family session was from a woman who was the very first person who ever signed up on my email list like 12 years ago.
That's awesome.
And she finally booked for a family session. It was my biggest sale that year. And it wasn't a matter of that she had to save up or whatever. It was just a matter of that slow roll of like, yep, there's Dory. When I need her, I'm going to call her. And I just thought that was so interesting. And it was a lovely experience. She's a lovely lady. I hope I get to work with her again. But I just found really interesting. I'm like, how did she find me? And I went back to my email list and literally she was number one.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've had an email list for a long time. And now, since we've been in business for so long, when it's time for me to book like holiday sessions or mini sessions or whatever, I send an email and my sessions fill. And that's it. Like one email, done.
Right. And you don't even, the thing that I love about this, I know email marketing isn't necessarily what we're here to talk about today, but the thing that I love about that is the fact that I can book sessions without having to put myself out on social.
Yep.
And to me, that's just a more authentic way of filling my books and being with people who follow me and are actually interested in what I'm doing, besides just throwing a big net out into the void saying anyone who might see this post on social. That's another thing too. Like we don't even know. They say they give us the analytics, but how many people like really are crossing our page and everything and actually like them, a page popping up on a computer screen does not mean that they're actually absorbing the information or caring about the information at all. But if I can book something just by sending out a few emails, I'm all about it. And it just seems so much more authentic to me to do things that way. And if I, every once in a while, I'll throw one out on social, but I don't do that very much. So, okay. So we talked about a couple things, a couple mistakes that people make on their websites is, you know, having pop-ups that come up too early, having galleries versus maybe services pages. What, from a personal information, alt keywords on images.
Yes.
How important is that?
They do help with your search engine optimization, SEO. So having text that describes the photo as alt text is important.
Okay.
You can put some keywords in there strategically. Like if it's a newborn baby on a blue blanket in Loveland Photography Studio.
Okay.
That's how I pop a keyword in there, or adding a location that way. That's something that you can do. Also, there's in Show It, which is the platform that I use, there's a place for an image title and an image description. And my image title, I rename all of my images before I pull them in to my gallery.
Okay, so yours is an image 598.2, like 85.jpg.
I rename it. And I rename it to something like Loveland Newborn Photography Studio. And then maybe a descriptor of the actual photo. But most of mine are just a generic. It doesn't have to be super specific on the description or the title of the image. But then describing it, you want to get into a little more detail. So that one, it's accessible for people who have vision problems. And then two, it's accessible for Google to know what the image is about and how it relates to the information and the page.
Okay. Let's talk about the accessibility issue because I've seen this recently of people wanting, of you getting dinged because your website is not accessible accessible for people with disabilities. And I struggle with this a little bit. Not that, say, for example, someone who has issues with their sight, not that they don't need a photographer, but how are they, they're just reading the websites?
I think so. And I think that Google also can read those descriptions to you. Like there's screen readers that read the text that's on the page and read like the alt text to the person that's viewing or experiencing the site.
Yeah. So I would guess though, in that situation, probably if you want to make sure that you're really maximizing everybody and being open to everybody, that someone who was challenged with their sight, I have a blind uncle. And so we, you know, it's very interesting. We, one Easter, we were sitting around the table and he was showing us his laptop. And then we were describing our laptop and just the differences in technology and everything. And I would think in that situation, he said it's like testimonials are a big thing for him because he can't always see what's happening. But if other people are raving about the experience or the product that they got, then he takes those very seriously. So I notice you have testimonials on your website. How do you suggest people sprinkle those in?
Sprinkle is exactly the right word. So they should be throughout your site and not reserved to a specific page. That kind of gets more into that layout of things and the strategy of how you're walking people through your site. You want them to like get information from you and information from other people. Mm-hmm. Having other people's words about your work is very beneficial because people see themselves in those words. Mm-hmm. There's also the thing of like, we use kind of jargony words on our site sometimes. And that's like, we gotta work really hard not to do that.
Right.
But testimonials are a way we can combat that if you're not in that mindset of like knowing that we need to be using the words clients are using. Okay. Testimonials are automatically using client words.
Right.
So they're not saying capture beautiful images. They're saying take great photos, right? Like we get so like poetic with our words sometimes like over the top. And that's not what people are searching. We want to use the words that people are searching for, words they understand. Yeah.
And that they can relate to.
Yeah.
There was a high-end coach one time and looking at their site, and she's not in business anymore, so it's no big deal. The descriptions of her services and products were so over the top. It was like this bespoke, handmade, curated album, especially for you. Ugh. Who uses the word bespoke anyway? People don't talk like that. And it doesn't matter. Also, I think the idea was if you make more money and you're a higher net worth client, that's how you would talk. But that's not how anybody talks.
No. And all of your website copy should be at an eighth grade level or below.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering if you're hitting that mark, there's a program called, it's not even a program, it's a website. It's called Hemingway Editor.app. Okay. And you can pop in your text and it tells you like, this sentence is too long. This sentence needs to be in an active voice versus a passive voice. Mm-hmm. You're at a 12th grade level. Like, put the thesaurus away.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good.
And simplify your language to what people are actually saying. Make it conversational. And that's a way that you get people to connect with you and like you and know you and trust you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I always laugh when I think of that. The bespoke, handmade, heirloom, specially curated. I'm like, no. Who's that going to resonate with? I don't know anyone. And I serve some pretty high net worth clients in my area in Washington, D.C. And I've, you know, pulled up to the houses before where I literally thought I was pulling up to a hotel. And I'm like, they don't talk like that. No. That's not how they're interacting with people. So don't try to be something that you're not, but just also make sure that it's grammatically correct and that it's spelled correctly and that you're not using slang.
I would combat that a little bit. Some slang, like, and use contractions like,
oh yeah,
don't, can't, won't, do not say, do not, because that's not how we talk. And so it breaks up the cadence and it makes you stop reading when it's too perfect.
Yeah.
So having a little bit of that slang conversational tone, but watching the jargon. So like, if you're saying digital images, I mean, I think now we're in an age where people pretty much understand what that is, but you might want to say downloadable digital file, or, you know, like there's other ways to say things that are a little bit easier. If you're going to say, I do in-person sales, you definitely need to explain that to people.
Please, please explain that to people.
Yeah. And like,
as someone who like taught IPS for years, it's like, don't you, that's like the behind the scenes, like, it's like doctors talking about surgery behind closed doors versus what they're explaining to their patients out in the waiting room.
Yep.
Like, you don't, in-person sales is not a term that clients should even know.
No, not at all.
You know, I'm like, yeah, why are you calling? They shouldn't know this. Do they want products? Do they want files? You want to sell it in person? You want to sell it, but it's not, that's not a, that shouldn't be a thing.
Yes.
That shouldn't be a thing at all. So, so any other like hot tips that people should be paying attention to on their websites?
Well, you know, one thing that you mentioned about the email list that I want to come back to, you talked about it being a way for you to put something out to warm people. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what a website is. Mm-hmm. Those people that are landing on your website are interested in your service. So you're going to talk to them differently than someone who's coming across your Instagram post. On Instagram, you might be reaching anybody and everybody. It doesn't have to be somebody that's local to you. It doesn't have to be somebody that's, you know, interested in photography at all. But when someone's landing on your website, they're already like a warm body. They're interested in photography. They came there because they're looking for photography. So using language and targeting your message towards someone who's already interested is a huge thing. Back to jargon, I don't like the word investment. No one is looking for photography investment. So if you use that word, Google's not going to show your results for people that are searching for photography pricing. Mm-hmm. So that's another little thing. Also thinking through other words people are using besides pricing, cost, other words for photography, like pictures or photographs or images. Like, you have to really think through like what people are actually looking for and what they're interested in. And then the last thing that I want to add is that, for example, with in-person sales, your website is the place where you sell someone on how you do business. So if in-person sales is what you're doing and it's really important to you, then you talk about how that benefits people, how this in-person sales experience, we're not going to use the word, how this ordering appointment or, you know, like whatever you want to call
it. It's just your process. It's it's just, it's the process.
Yeah. That's, you're just going to talk about
how to work with me. Step one, step two, step three. This is how it works, right?
And you're going to say like, we do it this way because this. We want to sell them on the benefit of it. We want your photos in your hands. We want you to experience professional, high-quality albums that will last you a lifetime so you can hand them down to your kids and their kids. You know, like, you want to think about what the benefits are of everything that you're talking about and how that affects the person that's reading the page.
Yeah, that's so good. I just, I think, and I see it. I go through so many photographers' websites and I see how people, it's inauthentic the way, like, once I talk to them and I see what their website is like, it's not authentic to them, to the business that they're running. They're following some sort of planned footprint or verbiage that they've gotten from somebody else and they've put it in, or they've copied it from someplace else, but it's like, no, talk to your clients the way you would talk to your clients in written form. You talk, you speak to your clients a certain way when they're in front of your camera and when you're dealing with them face to face. So take that and translate it into your website so they can get the information that they need and people can book. That's really.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing that I see as an issue is when you buy a template and you kind of just like plug in that, like, there's this much space for text, and so that's how many words I need, versus thinking through like the copy first, what it needs to say, and then making the template fit the text versus making the text fit the template. And then also like the layout of that, a website designer that's building a template is not always building it for that conversion and connection.
Yeah.
So you really want to think through like, what it needs to say and how you need to walk people from that journey of like interested to booking and buying and like bringing their credit card to you. I mean, like just last week I had somebody book a newborn session without ever talking to me. Mm-hmm. They
I love it.
Found my website. They found my mm-hmm. contact form. Everything went through my CRM and they booked. So mm-hmm. having those things and it was a great client, great session, loved it. Yeah. So having a website that can do the selling for you is so valuable.
Right. I love booking headshots like that. All of a sudden I just see money in my account and an appointment on my calendar. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm booking a headshot.
And, right. And you just get to show up and do the fun
part.
And
I just get to do the work. And it's so nice. And I used to really push against that, to be honest with you. I used to really push against that automation. Mm-hmm. And I live outside of Washington, D.C., and I live in an area where people want things efficiently.
Yep.
I'll just say it that way. It doesn't, I don't say quickly, but efficiency is a big deal in where I live. And I don't need to have a phone call with every single client for what I do. And even when I did newborn sessions, they saw what I could do on the website. I didn't necessarily need to have a huge conversation with them. Now, I will say, because I am a product-based photographer and I do offer products and I do in-person sales, that having that conversation usually led to a bigger sale. And I also wanted to have that conversation because I wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding about my process and buying the products and that the session fee didn't include 100 digitals and all that kind of thing. Yeah. So I do think that conversation was important, but I had many people book me without that conversation. And then once I'm like, hey, let's schedule a phone call, plan your session, just go through everything, want to make sure we're doing good. But by that time I had money in hand.
Right.
And I liked that so much better than when I was having those conversations and I was still trying to get them to book me. It was like, I was like explaining my sales process and having to sell at the same time. And it was so much easier when I could disconnect the two. Oh, the sale's done. They're in. They know everything. Now let me just go over the logistics and the particulars to make sure we're all on the same page with everything. And never did anyone say, like, after I'd have that conversation, say, oh, I didn't know this wasn't included. I want my money back. Of course I would have given them their money back. I mean, that's just, of course.
Right. Here. Well, and I think the biggest differentiation there is that you don't want to have sales calls with people who are not interested in the actual service that you provide. So mm-hmm. having your website sell it for you first, and then you come in and close the deal, even if it's not like pre-booked before you have that conversation, you're talking to people who are much warmer leads, much more qualified leads than any Joe Schmo that sends an email that says how much.
Literally, that's all they say.
Yeah.
How much?
How much?
Two words.
Yep.
And a question mark.
Yep.
No, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Or I love this, the whole copy and pasted emails that you can tell they've sent to like 10 other photographers. They've just copied and pasted. There's nothing personal about me at all. It's just like, hi there, I am expecting a baby, blah, 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 blah. How much is it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, hi, congratulations. What's your name again?
Well, and you know, I don't get those how much emails anymore because my website is so targeted and clear, clear over cute and clever is important too. Yes. So people understand what they're getting when they contact me.
Yeah.
And then like I have those automations set up so they can book automatically, but it doesn't look automated from their end. They're not seeing that it's a form email necessarily. It's still has some connection to it and some warmth and personality.
Yeah.
So you can do automation with that kind of personality and feeling behind it to where it doesn't feel like they're booking with a robot.
I love that. And the thing is, though, so many people are used to booking with robots these days that that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like I expect some parts of my transactions with almost everyone that I work with to be somewhat automated in some way.
Yeah.
Now, certain things need a little bit more of a personal connection, but I want like that it goes back to that efficiency.
Yep.
Like, submit my payment, get my receipt, have my confirmation number, all those different things. That's just the way the world runs now.
Right.
So asking people to almost work against that, I believe will work against you.
Agreed. 100%.
That's just, you know,
yeah.
my somewhat controversial opinion with my peers. They're like, oh, you're not doing everything by hand. No. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
My clients don't either.
Let it be easy, man.
Yeah. I say that all the time. Make buying from you easy. Don't make it hard for your clients to spend their money with you.
Right.
Make it easy. Well, Kate, I'm going to wrap this up right here. This is just like the tip of the iceberg. I know I could talk to you about this stuff all day long. And I know that you are a depth of really great information when it comes to websites. So take a quick minute and tell people what you offer and where they can find you.
Yeah. So I have a template shop opening for Show What Templates very soon. I have my program, the Website Launch Accelerator, which helps you build your site from that strategy part to the site design and then the SEO and showing up. That is available at dearkatebrandstrategy.com. Both of those things are. And then if you just want to see where your website is right now, you have a website and you're not sure if it's doing its job, I have a freebie called the Website Report Card, and that is available at dearkatebrandstrategy.com/report card, all one word.
Okay. That's a big one. So if you can't remember all that because you're out jogging or you're on the treadmill or you're driving in your car, don't worry about it. Just hit the show notes page and we will have links to all those things that you can access at focalpointspodcast.com. That's just one link where you can find all of this information. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
It was great. Yeah, loved our conversation. Thank you so much.
So great. Thank you. And now let's listen to a word from our sponsor at Enphoto. This isn't going to surprise you. I love Enphoto, and they have so many beautiful products that I can offer my clients. One thing that they released 2 years ago were their 3x3 accordion albums that you could get in many different album covers with different embossing. I like the suede cover with a little simple embossing to give to my clients as thank yous. I don't sell these. I offer them as thank yous. But what they did this year, which I love so, so much, is they announced two new sizes of these accordion albums. You can get them in 5x5 and now 4.5x5 inch sizes. And the way that I picture looking at these, granted, they are pocket portfolios for your clients to share their sessions, which is beautiful, but these can be great, incredible pocket portfolios for you to carry around so that you have, at a moment's notice, a lightweight, easy way to show off your portfolio to people who might be interested, people that you run into in the coffee shop line, the grocery store, or at a family gathering, and they want to know what you do. You can pull these out and show them to you and show them your beautiful images in print. It's all about printing, and especially the 4.5x5 inch portrait sized mini album. I'm going to be ordering several of those. So you haven't checked these out yet. You really need to. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Head over to enphoto.com and check those out today. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we will see you next time.